You are known at work for being that person. That person that other people call when they need X. Now, the thing is that an intentional reputation or is that one by accident? My guest today is actually going to help you by giving you the tools you'll need to better craft your own personal branding at work. Hold on. Is Relationships at Work, the Employee Experience and Workplace Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Russell Lolliger. Thank you for joining. Always happy to welcome you to help us all learn to get better, to grow our brains, to do better than we've always seen it before. Because we know we can. We know we can lead better, right? Great. Now, if there's a couple of noises, please bear with me. I'm in a new space. Recording for the first time, I've changed venues, moved away from where I was before, about an hour north, actually. So it's still learning all the new noises and going, oh, okay, that's, ooh, I hope I can get that out in post-production, you know, that kind of thing. I soon realize I may not be as good at audio editing as I always thought I was, but we're going to put this to the test. So thank you for your patience and certainly please bear with me. I talked about tools just a few moments ago, and I want to highlight a tool that I regularly distribute, which is Raw Notes. @W, Raw Notes. Yeah, see, relationships at work. I sometimes have moments of creativity. Anyway, I don't want you to miss this. I want you to sign up. You just go to the relationshipsatwork.ca. It's on the top right. It says Get Raw Notes. Couldn't be more clear. If you want to know what you're missing, if you're not signed up yet, last week, I dropped a little bit of a brain consideration, a think around consideration at work and how important it is in leading to connection. We can never just join a new culture, a new business area, anything without leading with curiosity. Because if we don't, we're making assumptions, we're making judgments. Or at least that's what might be perceived by those now you're working with, your colleagues, your employees. So please, if you're ever in a situation where you're looking to connect, motivate, lead, please think of them first. Be considerate, because that's really consideration, respect is the pathway to connection. And I don't think sometimes we do that enough. We don't self-reflect. We don't put ourselves in other people's situations to best understand our impact. So please, consideration will be your secret weapon when leading to connection. And I talk about that in the latest Raw Note and actually provide a story, a personal story of my trip to Australia many, many years ago and how consideration was astronomically impactful in helping me build better connections while I was there. There's also some great resources. I learned how to play games in the workplace. Cody McQuay was a guest many, many episodes ago, and she talked about it. My light bulbs went on, but I actually got to put some of the resources she pointed me to. I was like, oh, I'm actually going to use this stuff. Mind blown. Anyway, links to all that in the latest Raw Note. Highly recommend you check it out. But first, let's get into what we're talking about today, which is personal branding. And that is something that I'm always struggling with, to be honest. I focus my work experience in being really, really good at a thing. And then I get to be really good at that thing. And then people don't know me to do other things. Even though I'm very skilled, tons of experience, people want to put people in a box because it helps them better understand them. I get it. I do the same thing. But when it comes to the workplace, when you want to stretch your wings, when you want to better understand other teams, other opportunities, actually being and having a personal brand that is one that is maybe not the one you want can actually be quite limiting. My guest today, Anna Lakotkova, is actually an expert. She is a strategist when it comes to personal branding, and she gives a lot of information. So pen, paper, be prepared, because there is a lot she's dropping to help us better understand what our personal brand is, what it could be, and the steps in between. Let's get to that conversation. And here on the show, we have today, Anna Lakotkova. And here's why she is awesome. She's an international career and LinkedIn branding advisor, interview coach, and resume writer, all as the driving force of her consultancy, CB Labs. She's a speaker. She's a YouTube video creator. She's taken advantage of TikTok as a platform that I don't think enough of us are doing when it comes to career advice and education. Hello, Anna.
Hi, Russell. Thank you so much for such a warm intro. I'm happy to be here.
Well, Anna, I gotta start off with the hardest question, which is, of course, the same question I ask all of my guests, which is, what's your best or worst employee experience?
Well, the one that comes to mind is actually not one where I was a full-time employee at a company, but still it was an experience where a company hired me to do a presentation. And I've done a lot of presentations for different organizations, you know, both for-profit, non-for-profit, different kinds, really. But this one stood out to me because what the company was doing, it's a tech company, and they specialize in app security, you know, fraud prevention, that sort of thing. And I was really surprised that not only were they empowering women in this sort of a more male-dominated niche within the IT world, but also they were creating a whole series of webinars, events, conferences, workshops, and sessions on personal branding for their employees. And I really felt like they wanted to add a personal touch. So it was a great experience for me to see how they take care of their own employees, trying not to, you know, constrict them with certain filters, or this is what you're not supposed to do, or this is what you're supposed to do, guidelines, policies, all that. Of course, they have policies. Everybody does. But they were so focused on empowering and highlighting strength of those people that they have, really looking at those people as their assets, as their brand ambassadors. And that felt amazing to be part of. It felt great to be a presenter for such a group. And that whole approach, I felt like it was reflected in everything, like every step of the way of what we did.
It's always worrisome when these things are, oh, wow, this is amazing. I've never had this experience before, when it seems something that everybody should be doing.
It happens, right? But at the same time, I'm happy to see that more and more companies are shifting from all kinds of, you know, toxic or negative things, and they're working on improving culture, everything, and the way they treat their people, because that's really what everything is about. If you don't have the right people, you don't have anything.
I like that you brought up personal branding when it came to this, and you tied it to something that I'm curious about. A part of this is empowerment.
Yeah.
How? Why? In what way?
To me, personal branding is, first of all, about understanding who you are. It's such a broad concept, and we could define it from such different angles and perspectives, depending on the context that we're talking about. But essentially, to me, a personal brand is, do you know who you are? Do you know what your strengths are? Do you know how to communicate that? And can you really unpack that internal expert that all of us has within ourselves, and how we do that? So if you know that, that's incredibly empowering. That's what I find when I work with my clients, and that's why I enjoy my work so much. I help them unpack who they are. And after that, whatever they choose or don't choose to do next, they know that wherever they go, where they're always bringing with them is themselves, their own personal brand. So that's why, to me, it does equal empowerment indeed.
So let's look at those different angles, just a few anyway, because we all work within a culture, we all work together, but personal branding seems so personalized because it's personal. So how does an organization maybe perceive personal branding within itself?
Well, that's the thing, that a lot of organizations don't even think about this stuff. They don't think about personal branding of each and every employee. So obviously there is the top leadership at the company, and a lot of the times those are the people whose personal brand is sort of closely interconnected with the business that they're leading. But the challenge is that actually, or not the challenge, it could be a challenge, but it's also an opportunity, is that every single person who works at a company and is part of the business has a personal brand. And it's in the power of any organization to look at it this way and to understand that that's an asset. That's how your employee can become the ambassador of your company. And if you think about this, why do they call like this buzzword synergy? Why is it so, you know, popular or so powerful? Because when you put a few people together, the combined strength, the combined knowledge and expertise that they bring is actually more than the sum of the individual experiences that they're bringing to the table. So the individual experience they bring is the personal brand, but together as a sum, as a whole, that becomes the brand of the company. So really, if you want to have a stronger brand as a business, you are more than interested in strengthening each and every personal individual brand of your employees. So to me, you know, a lot of the times people look at personal branding as just that digital footprint, because we do live in a digital world and we can't avoid that. But it's not all. That's just, it's a big part, obviously, but it's not everything that a personal brand is.
So let's look at the definition of what a personal brand is by an employee's perspective.
Sure. Well, part of it is how you show up to everything. How do you show up to a work meeting? How you show up to your colleagues and your coworkers and your leadership and the people who are reporting to you? How you show up for a client? How you show up for yourself? Because a lot of the times you're also advocating for your interests that, you know, that are also important, and you have to know what those are and what you need to excel in a certain environment. So let's say you come to a point in your career where you're realizing that, oh, I feel like I'm stuck. I don't know what I'm doing. Or maybe I feel like I'm underpaid. I'm discovering that I'm not getting paid enough. I feel like I'm worth more. So how much more? Why do you believe that you're worth that much more? How can you define that to the people who are used to a certain image of you? So they see you every single day on a Zoom call or in person, doesn't matter. And they're used to a certain impression, to a certain contribution that is expected from you. How do you convince them that there's more? But also, if you know that you want to really excel in what you're doing, what's the next step? Can you engage your leadership? Can you engage your team in understanding what that next step is and how you can define that career development path moving forward? Because again, if you are a company, if you're a business and you want to retain your talent, you want people to stay for a longer period of time, you do want to empower them and say, hey, we can look at some next steps for you. Let's sit down and see what it is that you're really great at. How can we leverage that to the best of our, you know, combined value and the combined thing that we're doing together. So all of that is a personal brand. Also, what you do on social media or what you show on social media is part of your personal brand as well. I mean, honestly, even the way you dress and the way you look becomes part of your personal brand. Whether you like it or not, there's a certain impression that comes with that. And I'm not saying that you have to always, you know, think, okay, how do I look right now? Do I look okay? Do I not look okay? Like, you still have to be yourself. But let's be honest, that is still part of who you are. The way you look, the way you show up, the way you talk, the way you email, the way you reply to people's requests and concerns and things like that. So even if you ask your coworkers one day, hey, you know, what kind of word would you describe me with? And the word that they come up with, well, welcome. That's your personal brand. That's part of it anyway.
You had me looking at my hair and my clothes the whole time you were talking. I'm just sort of like going, okay, what am I representing? What am I putting on the table here? So that leads to my next question, which, how do you know what your existing brand is? Because subconsciously we're presenting an aura. We're communicating what we do and we don't do when we show up. So how do you know what your brand is, either to reinforce that brand or maybe even to change it? So you kind of got to know what your baseline is.
Ooh, that's a great question, actually, because knowing what your brand is isn't as easy as one might think for a lot of people. And that's why I genuinely believe in the work that a person needs to do to get to know themselves first. Because a lot of the times we think we know what we want, we think we know what we're good at, but we really don't, or we are completely far away from reality. And sometimes we need somebody else from the external world to kind of help us figure that out. And that's why a lot of the times when I work with my clients who, you know, are either actively job searching or simply exploring what that next step in their career should look like, and I ask them, it's like a very simple question. It sounds very simple. Like, what makes you different? Why are you different than 100 other people with a similar job title? And 9 out of 10 people don't know how to answer that. So really, it's not that easy to define your personal brand, and it's not that easy to understand what differentiates yourself. And what I find is that oftentimes we do need somebody on the outside to help us out, to help us figure that out. And it doesn't have to always be like a coach who is trained to do certain things or to ask the right questions, although that's a good path too. But it could also be a coworker who simply notices what a great job you did putting together a presentation and tells you literally a quick phrase in between meetings, as in, oh my God, every time you work on slides, it looks amazing. I love it. So sometimes we don't even realize, to you, what did I just do? I just put together a slide deck. I mean, come on, that's like the easiest thing. Because for us, it's mundane, it's routine. I do that every day. But to somebody else, there's something extraordinary about the way you approached it, or the way you thought of something, or the way the whole product or the whole result turned out. So we do need that external reality check sometimes, or that reflection of ourselves in other people's eyes, to really understand, oh, I've been not paying enough attention to this thing this whole time. And that's how you start getting closer to defining what your personal brand is.
And I wouldn't jump so far as to people think their self-awareness is as great as it is, because until you start picking away about what it is, it's, and I'll tell you a story. Reason being is I think my self-awareness is pretty damn good. I'm pretty aware of who I am. Yay. I'm old enough to know better, all this, right? Sure. But then I started asking some mentors of mine about how to get a little bit more focused into what I provide, the problems I fix. And when you ask some of those questions more strategically, like you were saying, it makes your mind think quite a little bit differently that you've never thought of before. I know me, but what problems do I fix? Damn, I don't know. I have to think about that. And just even going through that one question about what my particular brand was really tough. I'm a couple months in and it's not straightforward.
I know. And it's an exciting experience though. And I hope that you also discover a lot of really cool things. And it's not that you didn't really know them, but it's just that you're going to think of them in a completely different way. And that is the game changer. And I do believe that, yeah, a lot of us, including myself, are definitely overestimating our self-awareness. And until somebody asks a very simple, sometimes even a stupid question, like, what are you good at? What kind of problems do you solve? And then you're like, wait a minute, just 5 minutes ago, I thought that I was great. I was so confident. I was like, come on, employers, I'm here, you know, or come on, my boss, look at me, I'm brilliant. And yet, here we are, not being able to answer a very simple question. So yeah, personal branding isn't always just about, you know, posting stuff on social media. Sometimes, and for a lot of us, it's about really understanding, what value do I add to other people? And I feel like this is also such a cliche word or whatever expression these days. Like, everybody talks about, you know, added value. Like, even you open up LinkedIn, every single post is like, oh, what kind of value? It's all value. And people are like, what the heck are you talking about? What's value? Like, what kind of value do I add if I show up at work on time? Or if I assist in a simple task that is so routine that it doesn't even take any of my energy? But that's the thing, that for you, it could be so mundane and routine because you're so good at it that it's zero effort. It's effortless. Whereas for someone else, it could be, oh my God, I've never thought of it this way. How do I do this? What's the next step? And all that stuff. So yeah, it's a combination. It's a combination of understanding yourself and trying to see yourself with other people's eyes, who, you know, people who work with you, people who interact with you in a professional environment.
Why, Anna? Why? If somebody's sitting here listening to me going, but personal brand? I just like, what is the benefit within an organization to be, I guess, to stand out? Or even if you're looking to join an organization, what is the benefit of doing this work?
Well, there are many benefits, actually. And I think the biggest one is differentiation. So whether you are part of an organization where you want to stay for a while, or if you're looking to join a new organization, you've got to know what makes you different. Why are you unique? What is different about you? And when you know that, even to yourself, if that's information that is kept to yourself, but you just know, that's empowerment right there. You're going to feel a lot more confident when you show up and perform certain tasks, engage with certain projects, and, you know, the list goes on and on. The other benefit is really your professional development, so your career development. If you look at yourself in 5 years, in 10 years, you could be doing the exact same job, and in 5 years from now thinking, what the hell happened here? Like, why am I, like, it's been 5 years and I'm in the exact same place. So if you don't want that, if you don't want stagnation, that's another benefit. Understanding what am I good at and how can I leverage that in my next step? What's next? And how does my next step look like if I want to stay within the same organization, for example? Or maybe there is no next step in this organization, so I've got to start looking elsewhere. But no one is going to make that decision for you. It's really all your responsibility. And same goes for personal development as well. Like in my experience, when I started thinking of myself as a brand, as a person that brings value, as a person who has something different about, you know, what they do and stuff like that, it really gave me so much to think about in terms of what I want to learn, where I want to grow, what I want to master doing, or you know, what kind of work brings me joy. Like all those questions that really helped me to, you know, in a year or in a matter of a couple of years to really progress and think, oh, I'm a completely different person. I have a completely different level of understanding what I do, how I do it, and the kind of work that I do on a daily basis. So personal development is a huge, huge thing. So skill building, well, that's, I guess, part of that. Your worth, and I mean self-worth as well as your market worth. So there, those are two very different things. Again, sometimes our self-worth is not exactly the same as what the market thinks we're worth. So understanding those two things. And really, I think the ultimate benefit of it all is building trust and credibility with people. Again, could be your clients, could be your boss, could be your colleagues, could be other people in the industry, people who know you, people who compete with you. Doesn't matter. You are building credibility because you know who you are, you know how to add value, you know what problem you solve, and you, most importantly, you know how to communicate that to the world. Because in our heads, things always sound great. We're always kind of like, hey, I know that. But somehow when we open our mouths and start talking, that's when things don't sound so good. So knowing how to communicate that builds credibility with other people.
So where do you start? We mentioned about maybe asking people around you what you're already exuding. But say, for instance, somebody says, oh, you're the slide deck person. You're like, oh, my God, I don't want to be the slide deck person. How did I become the slide deck person? How do you start down the path of defining what your brand is if you're going to be intentional about it?
I would recommend starting at a very simple point of asking yourself, what brings me joy at work? What kind of things, problems, projects, tasks don't drain my energy so I don't feel drained after doing that, but they bring me energy? So I'm going to give you an example. Like I'll use myself. So for example, whenever I have to fill out some paperwork, or, you know, pay attention to some small details in a, like a big Excel table, like I can do that. I 100% can do that. I have no problem and I can focus on things like that. But it just does not bring me energy. It's not the kind of work that I could do every single day. And instead of Excel table, you could substitute that with other things where you're just sitting and, you know, analyzing some numbers or working with some data. Like that's not me. I could do that work. I totally could. I could be trained. I could be persuaded to do this, but it's not my jam. It's not my secret sauce. Somebody who loves doing that would outperform me like this, like so easily. But for example, put me in a room of people and ask me to present. That's where I'm like, oh, I can do this all day. I can stand in a group of, like, in front of a room of people, doesn't matter if it's 5 people or 100 or 1,000 people, and it brings me energy. It doesn't drain me. After that, after doing a presentation, I feel better than before I did it. I literally feel like I could do 5 more. So when you feel that, even if you don't feel it so strongly, even if you feel it slightly, it still means that, okay, this is where you start digging. If something at work brings you energy versus drains your energy, start digging. What is it about this type of work or this type of task that you like, that you enjoy? And usually when you start kind of asking yourself some follow-up questions after that, you'll discover that the type of work that we often enjoy the most usually is very closely tied to what we're good at and our strength and who we really are. Because it's like, you know, you can't enjoy something where you're investing your everything, and it's not bringing you anything back. Like, that's just not something that a person would enjoy. So often we enjoy what we're truly good at. And if we start digging there, that's, I would say, step one.
Would step two be marketing it? I mean, at the point you're getting, like, if you know yourself, and you are, I'm the slide deck person. Let's stick and pick on that person. I love being the slide deck person. But if you're just sitting there telling yourself that over and over again, well, that really doesn't help you for a career. You've got to start marketing that. And it's funny that, so I did this presentation not too long ago in Dallas, and it was a bunch of communication professionals. And these communication professionals were feeling, they liked their job, but internally to the organization, they didn't feel like they were being heard. They didn't feel like executive knew their value. And all I did was ask, you know, those communication skills you use for the audience you're trying to attract, use the same skills on your own executive. You are communications professionals, be communications professionals. And you wouldn't believe the light bulbs that went off of just sort of like, oh, right. Oh, damn it. Okay. So they need to be able to market to everybody around them about what they do and how they do it. Is this sending an email to the entire organization going, hey, I'm the slide deck person? Or is it a little bit more strategic than that?
I love everything that you just said, by the way. Yeah, I think it is more slightly more strategic than that. But you touched on so many great points there, Russell, because a lot of the times the people who are great at marketing something else, like a product or a service or something else that the company does, are completely oblivious to the fact that they can do the exact same thing on themselves. Like, it's insane. But at the same time, it's very normal because we all have blind spots when it comes to ourselves, and that's okay. I have them, you have them, everybody has them. That's why in the beginning we were talking about, hey, sometimes we need that reality check with the people we're working with. So when it comes to, okay, how do I then communicate my value to the leadership or to the client or to the next employer or the next organization I want to join? The number one question is really, are you communicating in the language the other party understands? And I don't mean, are we talking German or English or Chinese? I'm saying, are you talking in the terms that are of interest to another person? For example, you could be saying all you want about, I'm great at making slides. They're so fancy. There's animations. Everything is moving around and everybody loves it. Oh my God, I'm amazing. But your leader is sitting there and thinking, okay, well, I'm so happy for you. What's in it for me? Why should I care about this information? And it's not because they're selfish or, you know, they don't care. They still might care very much, but those are not the words that trigger them in a good way. I mean, trigger in a very good, positive way. But if you switch that language to outcomes, results, accomplishments, as in the last 10 presentations I've put together, all of them were presented at conferences worldwide. And this presentation was done here. This presentation was done there. And let's look at some numbers. Here we got 500 new clients interested. Here we got this. Here we got a new investment. And after that, I feel like the next step is blah, blah, blah. So then already you're switching to words that people understand. And oftentimes that's, again, when I work with clients, they also have those light bulb moments when they're like, holy shit, I've never thought of it this way. I never thought that instead of simply saying that I'm great, I could just show what makes me great. And then I sold myself. So that's the thing, that a lot of times people think that selling yourself or marketing yourself, marketing your strength, is like throwing adjectives. I'm awesome. I'm great. I'm expert. I'm a great negotiator, or whatever, you know, the list goes on. And the buzzwords that you find in Google when they suggest how to talk about yourself, they really don't help. When in fact, you can switch to knowing how to talk about what you've actually accomplished, results. It doesn't mean that it always has to be about dollars. It could be qualitative things. It could be drawing attention. It could be, you know, challenging an old way of doing things and bringing up a new way and implementing that new way and then training people on that, you know, on doing things the new way. So it could be qualitative, but as long as it's a tangible outcome that has the result in it, so there's already right there the value that you added that we were talking about, right? And then there's also how you did it. So saying I do slides is not enough. Everybody, like a lot of people, hundreds, maybe thousands, millions of people could potentially create slides. Question is, how do you create them that makes it so unique and different and productive and effective and awesome and creative? What is it about that approach? And I mean, you could use that with anything, regardless of how simple or sophisticated the task itself is. That's the beauty of knowing how to market, that at the end of the day, you can step away from that cringeworthy framework of like, ooh, I have to sell myself. Oh my God, what does that mean? I have to like talk about how great I am. Instead, you simply talk about what you did and how you did it and what value that created. That's it. You just marketed yourself. But again, who are you marketing to? What's the language? Those are the two things that are really important when you're doing this. But the simple thing is, it's not as cringeworthy as a lot of people think.
Is it different for those that are just starting their career versus those that are more established?
100%, yes. And when you don't have a lot of experience, a lot of the times you feel lost and you feel like you have nothing to draw from. Like you don't have an inventory of things that you can pick from. But luckily, even your educational background and some other, you know, some volunteering that you've done perhaps, or some like projects that were part of your education. You know, a lot of the times you do like case studies, you do team projects, you do all kinds of things. So those are still your additions to your future professional life, to your future personal brand. And if I look back at like my time at university or even earlier than that, I'm realizing that a lot of the things that I now consider my strength and my clients tell me, oh, it's so great that you do this. I'm so happy with the way you handled this. I'm realizing this came from exactly that, you know, how back then being a, you know, at school, I knew how to talk to this type of person or I knew how to do something else. And so really, yes, you will have a lot more to dress up, you know, around that quality or that strength of yours. But you can do that even with as little experience as you have. And a lot of the times, even when you're transitioning, so a lot of people these days are, you know, realizing that maybe they are in the wrong career or in the wrong industry, and they are sort of scared to make that leap to like into a completely new area, completely new field. So it might feel as if you are at that point of, you know, that starting point where you don't have any experience to show. And then you look at transferable elements, the elements that added value in the past and can be transferred to this new context that you're just entering.
Where have you seen people screw this up? Because I've seen a few people do personal branding and they dig deep, but I'm like, that's really not what you're known for. It's what you want to be known for, but it's not what you're known for. So how can people, mess this up?
Oh, they can mess this up in so many different ways. But again, most of those ways are not, doesn't come from an intention of doing things the wrong way. It comes from a lack of awareness. So, I've seen lots of different things. So one of them is, again, trying to pretend to be someone you're not. So like you said, you think that you want to be known for this thing, but in fact, that's not really even a strength of yours, and there are so many other people who do it so much better with less experience and that sort of stuff. So yes, part of the process is being brutally honest with even yourself. Like, I want to be maybe that data person. I want to be that numbers gal. But like, can I be honest with myself that yes, I could spend hundreds of hours and thousands of hours trying to retrain, trying to build that skill set, whatever. But the question is this still my thing? Is it still something where I shine that and something that brings me energy? So being brutally honest with yourself is a good fix for a lot of the mistakes that that might happen when you're trying to, build some influence or create some kind of a personal brand. The other thing that people could do is be inconsistent. So you're like, oh, okay, so Anna told me it's personal branding time. Now I'm gonna, do some self-analysis. I'm gonna come up with some marketing messages, and now posting time. I'm gonna start posting on LinkedIn every day. They do it for 2 days and then they're gone. And again, the biggest thing is it's not, laziness, it's not lack of motivation. It's just the idea of intensity that like it has to be intense. Personal branding. Okay, so every day I have to like come up with a groundbreaking idea that has to change the world, and I'm going to be the next Steve Jobs. That's not it. So sometimes it's about simple steps that you can maintain over a longer period of time consistently. So if we look at your actions 3 months ago, 6 months ago, a year ago, are we going to see as something consistent with what you're doing today? And personally, I've failed at that myself. So I'm not judging anybody for it. And I'm not saying this lightly because I know what it takes to build that consistency. I've failed multiple times on this front. But I know that as long as you have awareness and as long as you're still taking half a step, quarter of a step forward, you're still moving forward. So you're still not stuck at the exact same place for a long period of time. And I would say the last thing that people can really mess up is when they're trying way too hard. And they're trying so hard that they're everywhere. And that is also something that turns people off quite often. Like it's there's a fine line and there needs to be a balance. And of course, if you have that energy, if you want to have such a huge boost, I mean, go for it. But if you're everywhere and you're everywhere all the time, there's a downside to it. So you have to be aware of that and you have to pace yourself because somebody who is all the time everywhere will not be able to maintain that for a very long period of time. They're going to burn themselves out and then they're going to hate the whole idea. And then they're going to have this super, like, almost PTSD type of reaction to the concept, and then they're never going back. So, yeah, I would say those are the three biggest ones, and I've been through all of them. So, yeah, it's not a very easy thing.
This feels very extroverted, though. This very feels very putting yourself out there, a lot of energy. What would you recommend to those people that may not feel the most natural going down this path of personal branding?
If you're an introvert and if all of this sounds overwhelming, I can say one thing is that if you sit down and rationally, if you're that type of person who likes to analyze, and a lot of introverts do like to analyze things in our heads. So instead of doing that in your head, take a piece of paper, write down all the advantages of you putting yourself out there. Let's imagine that you get one job opportunity or you get one, gig of some sort that you like. Let's say you're a designer and somebody hires you to design something, whatever that is that you truly want. All of that does not just magically find you. So you're sitting there at home in front of your laptop all day long, talking to no one, not putting yourself out there, and then everything just magically just knocks on your door. Like, things don't happen that way. You have to put yourself out there. And when I realized that, the benefits truly outweigh the cost, like it outweighs the cost of me being uncomfortable for a bit. It outweighs the cost of me admitting that, hey, maybe I'm not great at this yet, but maybe I could be. I've learned things in the past, and I've also started from zero, so why can't I do this again? And as you start, you're going to discover that it could have been the best decision you've ever made. Like, honestly, I'm so, so happy that I hit that publish button on LinkedIn many years ago for the first time. Also having a ton of doubts and thinking, is this even worth it? Like, why am I doing this? Like, so many people are saying that this is complete, you know, BS and all that stuff. But I was like, okay, but there are people that I admire who are doing this. So I can take in some inspiration from them. And if they are doing this, it couldn't be completely useless. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing this. So what am I missing here? So it took a little bit of that, you know, self-dialogue or whatever. But the benefits do outweigh the cost. And once you realize how many opportunities can come your way, like, by putting myself out there, I've met some of the best people in my industry and outside of my industry as well. I've met some people who I really can call my friends, even though we met on LinkedIn through some networking, and it could have just been this super meaningless one-time exchange of, hey, great to be connected, whatever. But it actually turned into those genuine, authentic relationships. I don't know if it's an introvert thing or if it's just me, but when I gave myself the permission to do that authentically, somehow that block of like, why am I putting myself out there, just went away by itself. So I would say that maybe try that if you consider yourself an introvert and see what happens.
I'm going to finish up with the favorite question here, Anna. I think it's time. I think you've given us enough nuggets. What's one simple action? One simple action people could do right now to improve their relationships at work?
That is a wonderful question. I wish I could say 100 different things, but if I have to only come up with one, I would say whenever you're interacting with anybody at work, remember that whatever is happening is not always about you. I feel like that eliminates so much tension, so much struggle, so much conflict, even if it's, you know, not open conflict, but kind of that hidden conflict. It just takes away so much of that stress and pressure when you're realizing that, hey, it's not about me. It could be that this person is having a bad day. It could be that this person is struggling with something. And the minute you realize that whatever reaction or whatever perception you have is like, oh, this person is so this, or this person is so annoying, this, like, whatever, you're realizing that it's not actually, it's just a matter of perceptions.
This is Anna Lokotkova, who is an amazing international career and LinkedIn branding advisor, interview coach, and you can find her with her consultancy CV Labs anytime you like. She's on the internet. Thanks, Anna, so much for your time.
Thank you, Russell. It's been a pleasure.